And now, another riveting episode of Shallow Thoughts with Huber and producer Steph, taking a deep dive into dumb.
It is 100.7 The Bay, the podcast, Huber's Shallow Thoughts. My name is Huber, joined in studio by producer Steph. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing so well. And today's topic is going to be a fun one. I'm looking very forward to discussing this because there are things that we as human beings do every day that says a lot about us. Some of it is the way we dress, you know, where we live, our style, our type of music. But there is one thing that puts out more subliminal cues than intentional cues.
Okay.
And I think that is the automobile. And there are many layers to what your automobile can say about you, what style it is, what color it is, if you have a giant monster truck or a tiny lowered car, you know, how you keep it up on the exterior, if it's clean all the time, if it's waxed, if your tires are armor-alled, or all those types of things. So yes, that car can say a lot about you, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about right now in this podcast. What we're talking about today is more how you interact with your car, in the car, with other drivers, and what that says about you as a person who, you know, maybe how you interact in your work setting, in your school setting, in your other settings are totally different. And sometimes the car can really give you the fast track to explaining somebody's personality. And the reason we're talking about this is because you went to an experience recently where you had one of the convenience shuttles, you know, a driver took you somewhere because you did not have access to your car for a while. And it was a bit of a situation.
I saw a different side of a person I didn't even know.
Right.
I mean, imagine you're getting a car with a stranger, which these days, Uber, it's fine.
Sure.
It's not an Uber that I'm referring to. But you hope that this person is courteous, a good driver, and gets you where you need to be. I did not experience any of that. I almost died on a two-lane road. And I watched the guy get into full road rage with me in the passenger seat.
And what was the distance that you traveled? How long did you spend in the car?
I think it was 2 miles.
So you're talking a very short trip, and this person went from zero to road rage
in a split second, now, pulling out into traffic.
I'm always the, you know, I always try to look at both sides of the coin. I am the firm believer in there's three sides to every story, yours, theirs, and then the truth in the middle. So I'm trying to just justify this in my head and try to figure it all the way out. What time of day?
Rush hour.
So yes. P.M. rush hour, A.M. rush
PM
hour?
P.M. rush hour.
So this guy potentially could have been doing this all day long. You could have been his 400th trip of
like,
the day, and he was just done.
Yeah, over it.
Okay. But not that that justifies it. I'm just trying to get the context.
And I do believe that maybe he took on the route that he chose during rush hour as maybe a bad option.
Yes.
He didn't go the easy breezy circle around the parking lot and go out the official.
So he took the
shorty cut.
The path of most resistance, not the path of least resistance. And
so
paid the price for it.
We pull out and there is instantly a traffic bottleneck, if you will. And this guy decides he's just going to, you know how there's drivers. They're like, I'm just going to go,
and you're either going to stop or hit me, but I'm going to let that be your choice.
That was the situation.
I got that. Okay.
And then when the other driver got mad and did the lay on the horn, make a point, this guy does the FU with me in the seat.
So he's shouting expletives while you, a complete stranger, were you riding shotgun back seat? Where were you?
I was riding shotgun.
So you're sitting right up front row view of the whole deal.
I thought I was going to be an accomplice. Honestly, I thought I was going to jail. I was going to say, I just met this guy. And then, you know, here's the problem. Then there's the awkwardness.
Well, then right after the situation dissolves, if you emerge safely into the lane, as I assume you did because you're standing here. So then does he feel the need to justify the outburst?
Of course.
Okay, so there's an explanation. There's an explanation.
There's always.
And what was it?
It was, that guy was going twice the speed limit. Well,
right.
Whether he was or wasn't.
You chose to pull in front of him.
You chose right. to put a customer in an awkward position. And honestly, just to be honest, I thought about walking. Like, it was one of those like.
So yeah. After you safely merged into the road, you were going to abandon ship and just say, I'm good from here.
I'm good from here. Yeah, I'm going to run into this coffee shop and then I'm going to call a friend or walk. I mean,
right.
It wasn't that far. But I'm thinking to myself, what would Huber do? What would Huber do? Because now,
did he overcompensate the rest of the ride? Was he like super nice? Or
No. I think we saw a real side of a person that just, you know, drives a little differently than me. Look, I have what's the equivalent to a mom van, but it's not. But
right.
I drive
I gotcha.
Safe, and right. I have a car seat, and I'm very focused. And then there's this hot rod who's like, didn't make it at NASCAR, so I'm gonna prove my worth. And you know what? That just goes to show that you don't know somebody until you're in the car with them.
I do think that that's a valid statement. I do think that, you know, we work here in radio, and as the quote talent, a lot of times we are able to do things for our clients, and you know, whether it's endorse a product that we use and like, or go to meetings to help, you know, solicit clients to come to the station. And you know, we have a sales staff, and a lot of times you know the sales staff from seeing them in the office and
sure.
interacting with them, but they're, you know, they're in their suits or dresses, they're buttoned up, they look nice, that everybody's civil and polite at work, whatever. But sometimes when you get into the comfort zone that is their own vehicle, it can change their personality dramatically. And, you know, everything from what they talk about, like without the confines of extra ears in the office, sometimes the conversation gets a little raunchier or dirtier or more expletives. I'm speaking in generalities right now, but these are all things that I've experienced.
Don't you remember in Office Space when the character Michael Bolton was driving to work and he was listening to gangster rap?
Right, and then when he pulled into traffic, he would chill out. Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't know what people are doing in their own cars until you get a ride. If you took me to Wegmans tomorrow to get lunch, I think I'd have an idea of what your situation in your car would be like.
Yes.
But what if I got in and it was full of fast food rappers?
Oh, I think that is a tell. So I am a relative neat freak when it comes to the car. I bring the coffee cup in when I come home at night. If it was in there from the morning, I don't leave trash in there. Sometimes, especially now, there's like extra masks, kind of, which love. I don't love that I have that stuff floating around. As we have discussed many times on this podcast, I have a streak of vanity. So in my car, there's also like, you know, smelly stuff. There's cologne, there's hair fixy stuff, there's a brush, but that's all safely tucked away in the glove box. But yeah, sometimes dust will build up, but the car's clean for the most part. But sometimes you can go into somebody's car who on the surface projects a clean and neat environment, but then the car can tell you something completely different.
And then I thought about, so it's been a while since we've been able to go out.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
That one person drove and everybody just kind of climbed in.
Right.
And that feels like forever ago. But I have gotten into a car where I don't know if I can handle the car based on the smell.
Oh.
Based on the smell. And I'm thinking to myself, but I know you. You're
right.
My friend.
Right.
But then I think, you know what? Do I know you? Do I actually know you? And you're only driving up to the, you know, to the winery or to the pub. You just deal with it.
I have said in the past, too, and you just brought something up when you said that in my head, we're going on a couple's excursion. And again, this is kind of an older topic because of the last year of not really interacting much. But the argument of who's driving, who's riding, why wouldn't we drive together? Let's not take two cars. But like you said, if you know the other couple has a messy car, or the kid just puked in it or something, and you don't want to ride in their car, or it's like you got to take out the car seats and clean it all out. And I have another, because I'm a weirdo, I don't love a backseat ride.
You don't?
And oh, so all right, let me ask you this.
I'm like, it's a free ride.
If you go somewhere as a couple, two couples,
yep,
what are the seating arrangements?
Definitely next to the wife, and if she's not driving, I'm in the back seat, probably in the kid's seat.
So, but I'm saying like, boy, boy, girl, girl, yep. Or boy, girl, boy, girl?
No, boy, boy, girl, girl.
I think that's how it shakes out a lot.
I think that's just so that everybody can chit-chat.
But
and
can you
out.
Ask that up front? Because that would be a deciding factor on whether or not I want to drive. I don't necessarily need to drive both couples if I know I'm going to get shotgun. But if I'm going to be riding in the back with my significant other while the couple is in the front seat, then I don't want anything to do with that, and then I'd rather drive.
Does it bring back like like high school memories where like you're climbing into a two-door back seat?
I'm big and fat, so getting in and out, I mean, even if it's a four-door, it's still easier to get out of a front seat, I think. Although the four-door does kind of eliminate that problem. But yes, if it's a two-door, I want nothing to do with the back seat.
You're like, I haven't done that
that's not even an option yet. And I'm not particularly tall. I'm like 5'9", 5'10", so it's not like I need the leg room, but still, I prefer the front leg room to the back leg room. I mean, if it's you and I, I'd much rather have you sitting behind me.
Of course, for sure. That's what everybody says to me.
Right.
They're like, you get to be behind the driver.
Right.
Because your feet probably can't touch the ground anyway.
Right.
But I understand from a man or a larger person.
Yeah.
But if it means that you don't have to drive, I'm going to suck it up and sit where they ask me to get the free ride. Unless your car smells.
Right.
Or is dirty.
And then what about the inconvenience factor? What if you don't have multiple car seats, but they do?
Ugh.
Then it's like, and if you are going to go as two couples, then somebody's got to do the unenviable task of removing the car seat. And then inevitably, when you remove the car seat, there's the lollipop stick and the crushed Cheerios and maybe the orange wedge that's rotted in there. Yeah, the gym bag is a situation,
too. Don't leave a gym bag in the back seat all weekend.
Right.
And then be surprised on Monday morning that it's terrible. But I cannot believe we even sound like we're complaining.
I would do anything right now. I'd ride in the hatch, in the back, in the fetal position, curled up tightly just to go out with multiple people in one vehicle.
I mean, think about it. When was the last time anybody outside your family was in your car? They weren't.
They weren't.
Maybe that's why I had the experience. Oh, I just had an aha moment.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I haven't been in a car with another driver in like a year.
All right.
And this guy has, obviously, for his job. But I haven't. Am I out of date?
Well, and maybe you were at a heightened... I mean, look, when a guy screams the F word at another driver, I don't think whether you're anxious or not about the COVID situation, that's still an awkward situation.
Was I about to defend that driver? Have I changed my perspective in 10 minutes?
Maybe. I'm telling you, hanging out with me will do that because I am the most even-keeled, see-both-sides-of-every-story person you'll ever meet, I think.
You are. And I got to tell you, I'm like, maybe I overreacted. Maybe I shouldn't have. No, it's riding with other people tells you a lot about the
Did you make a conscious decision to ride shotgun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a taxi. That's weird.
But under normal circumstances, I'd agree with you. But with COVID, would you think it would have felt more comfortable to be masked up and in the back seat?
Well, now you've brought that up. I mean, we had our masks on.
And look, you're not going to. What is 6 feet when you're in a car? I mean, you're in an enclosed space with recirculated air. I mean, does it.
And it was 2 miles.
And it was a very short drive.
It may be like 2.2 miles. But come on, I should have just put my running shoes on and
done it.
But it gives you thought when next time you get a chance to climb in someone else's car, you might judge them.
I totally do. And personalities change big time, whether it's the comfortability of being in your own space, and doing your own thing, or if it's like something that you work hard all day to suppress, and then you finally get, all day you're frustrated because, the boss tells you what to do and the client tells you what to do and this and that. And then when you're finally in your own car, it's like, I get to do what I want. Maybe there's something to that. Have you ever been monstrously shocked by the state of somebody's either driving or car that it was so polar opposite of how they interact?
I had a friend who lived just messy. Just single, didn't have kids, didn't have a spouse, single, didn't matter. Rappers, trash, whatever. Drove for Uber. The cleanest car I've ever sat in. Had waters, had hand wipes. This is pre-COVID, by the way. Had hand wipes, had lotions. I'm like, why don't you live the way you operate your car?
That's funny.
But that's. Yeah, when money counts.
Yeah.
That's when you really show.
I do love when you get into the Uber and it's like part ride, part bathroom attendant, where there's like mouthwash and deodorant and Tums and a foot massager.
You're halfway there, by the way, based on what you told me about your car.
I could exist a day or two in my car without anybody really noticing, like, huh? Because there's probably even a change of clothes, like in a gym bag or. at least another hat or two, enough that I could probably get by with a day or two before you realized I was living out of my car.
Let's throw it back to an old podcast. Throw a winter coat in there, and you're good for months.
I'll come in with silver pants, but it's actually the space blanket from my emergency kit.
Oh, I need a ride.
I think you handled that situation well, because I know you, and you're one to sometimes snap back and go, what are you doing, man? Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, my gosh. The craziest car experience I've ever had with you
was in the Bahamas. I remember.
First of all, just don't take a cab in the Bahamas. Just don't do it.
All people or just me? Are you talking to
you
me?
Specifically, but you. Most people should just not if you can avoid it. But, yes, we were in a cab in the Bahamas. And we had paid to go to a destination, and that wasn't enough for this dude. He decided to stop on the side of the road and pick some people up that were walking as well and get a little extra fare out of the deal.
Double dipping.
And you lost your mind.
I might have had a couple of those adult drinks they give you.
You lost your mind, and you started saying, this guy's going to kill us. This guy's going to rape us. And literally, we're in the same car as him. It's not like we were across the club, and the music was blaring, and it was, you know. And I remember
saying,
our mutual friend who was with us, and
he can hear you. And do you remember the guy he picked up? Had just won
a boxing match or something. He had a belt.
A big gold belt.
Oh, I just had that total flashback at the end of this podcast. I know I derailed it a minute, but oh my goodness, that's so true.
That was quite a memorable.
Well, look, I think we've only scratched the surface on the shallow thoughts about the car. I appreciate what we did today, but I think we need to spend a whole podcast on car cleanliness. Inside and out, and what that means about you.
Music.
Yes, music listening habits. Oh, my God, I remember driving with a mutual friend who used to work with us at the other radio station, and she was a radio geek, and she only kept it on scan. She never listened to anything. You remember the radios used to have scan, and it would just play like 10 to 15 seconds, and then it would just tune to the next possible station and play 10 to 15 seconds? And that's what she did.
That was insane, maddening. That is like ADD at its worst.
It was maddening. So yeah, there's plenty more here, but let's pause on this week's edition and regroup. Yes, drive safe out there. It is such a weird time right now, and knock on wood with the vaccine and stuff. Things hopefully getting closer to going back to normal. But yeah, it's climbing in cars with strangers, even friends, is just a thing we haven't done a lot.
It can ruin friendships.